This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, happy hump day from the Press Box. Nick is here. I am here. And for the next 3 hours, we are yours as we talk sports and other things. One down, maybe one and a half, but maybe more like one down and maybe at least one more to go in terms of arms I need for the bullpen.
Yeah.
But very pleased to open the show with the fact that I believe that James Click skunked the Mariners. He did what you didn't think could be done. He didn't even have to give up a prospect.
I know.
And he got and he gave up the LaForce be with you, Seattle. He gave up my boy Joe Smith, did me a favor there. And look, I don't mind Toro. I saw people losing their minds about Toro. Here's the reality of the situation. And he proved it last night. Aledimus Diaz was coming back. And I told you, he can hit, he can play third. He did both last night. And on top of that, Bregman is not far behind. So therefore, there's your starter and your backup. You don't need Toro. You needed bullpen help. And unbelievably, the opportunity to get the guy that had some of the best numbers out of the pen in Major League Baseball fall right into your lap, and you took him. Good for you, James.
Well,
Click.
You were asking for it, Joel, and it looks like you got it. And he says he's not done, and that's a good thing. But at least two of the three general managers here in Houston have made a move. Maybe Randall Cobb is not official, but one with Nick Caserio, one with James Click. Now it's on your boy Rafael Stone to do something tomorrow at the NBA draft. We'll see if he does anything in that regard. But, man, I'm happy about the move, and I don't think anybody should really be criticizing James Click. I'll hear grades. If you're incredibly upset about Toro and you want to give him a B or a B-minus because of that, and you just absolutely have this love affair with Toro, I'll hear it. I don't understand why. When you have an opportunity to get rid of Joe Smith and make your team and your bullpen better, that's the move you're supposed to make. And, look, it's not necessarily the sexy name that we were talking about, but guess what? Not all the sexy names are going to be available. Max Scherzer was talked about earlier. I saw some reports where the Yankees inquired about Max Scherzer. He did not want to play for the Yankees, so it looks like he might want to stay out there on the West Coast. And then Sterling Marte, who the guy that was attached to the Astros, they've made a move with him, and he's going to be playing for the A's. So, look, considering all the movement that's been done so far leading up to the MLB trade deadline, and the fact that he says he's not done, I give him an A-minus, right? I mean,
I totally do, because here's the thing, Nick. When you think about it, and Charlie and I were talking about Kendall Graveman's situation next year. He's a free agent. But you know what he said in his press conference? He's happy to be joining a team like this for this year and hopefully beyond that. You know what? You're getting all that money off the books. You don't have anyone you're paying closer money to right now. You got rid of Osuna. There's a clean-cut opportunity for you to sign him. If he has a good rest of the year, if he enjoys his experience in Houston, if he's playing for a winning ball club, nothing says you can't resign this guy.
Yeah, and look, he's a likable guy. Apparently, everybody on the Mariners squad are absolutely upset that they gave up on this guy. I think they're, what, one spot
one game behind Oakland for the wild card.
Wild card spot. So I guess I can kind of see what the locker room or the clubhouse feels in that regard. But, dude, I mean, good move by James Click. And the great thing is, because the deadline is so near, we can expect a move here fairly quickly. And he's even said in the coming days. So you got
because when he addressed it, the first thing he said was, hey, we addressed one of our needs, which we knew, which was bullpen. But he said, going forward, before the deadline, it doesn't mean that that's all we're concentrated on. We're looking at all aspects of improving our ball club. If that's the case, I'm really excited about what James Click can do between now and the deadline, because I like his outlook, I like his attitude towards it, and I like the first move that he's made. I kept saying I wanted to see the first signature Click move. This one's a good one.
Well, your voice projects so loudly that he heard it from Minute Maid Park through these walls, the soundproof walls. He heard you bitching at him for the past, what, 12 weeks, I would say? Like, how long have you been bitching at James Click?
Most players hear me and good things happen. See Kyle Tucker, see Miles Straw, see the fact that when I said that Rayleigh wasn't the guy, though I took backlash from Astros Twitter, again, I was right. So, I mean, I do like to be right more than wrong. It does happen regularly, and I do like that the Astros are listening.
I see you rocking the new Astros cap. Perfect timing for it, by the way, which I
ordered it.
I would still, but your head is too big, so I can't.
With your horn, we might be on a level playing field.
I would totally rock that cap. That's a really nice cap.
Yeah, this is the 4th of July hat for the Astros, and I ordered it. And, you know, it's crazy because when you get the on-field hats, they have the size on them, but it's never the same. No two hats are the same with New Era with these hats. So I ordered it hoping that it was going to turn out and fit right, and it did.
Good.
So I'm ecstatic about it. It's a good-looking hat.
Cool. So I mean,
I'm not sure. Are you good with the? Wait, it's on this side. I'm not sure with the HOU on the side.
I noticed it. It didn't bother me. The reason why I like it a lot is because they didn't go with the red. Not that I don't like red, white, and blue when it comes down to the flag, but they didn't go with the red, white, and blue color, despite the fact that it's a 4th of July cap. And I like that they stuck to black and red, just in the lettering. I like that part of it. It's unique. It's different. So
I like the fact that the H is white. Like their batting practice hat, which is just the rainbow colors. Even the H is the rainbow colors. I would like the H prominently white with the color in the star. And so that's why I like this hat so much. The All-Star hat was a little too much. So I'm glad that this one turned out. But we got lots to talk about with the Astros. Look, they almost did it again. You know what's funny thing was, and someone was kidding about it yesterday, Nick, because I was at gymnastics class with Taylor when the tweets started coming in that there might have been. First of all, it was cool and it was suspicious. When you saw Chandler Rome and you saw Jake Kaplan and you saw Brian McTaggart tweeting, Toro's on the field in a Mariners uniform taking batting practice. And I'm like, no, this isn't a trick. Something's up.
No, I mean, that's just too quick of a turnaround. Too quick of a turnaround. But
someone said it would be so Astros, Toro's going to go deep tonight. And I was like, nah. And so, again, I didn't stick out to the last out, but it was 8-4, I went to bed. And I looked at my phone at 8-4, and I'm like, okay, everything's good in the world. I woke up and see final 8-6. I'm like, wait a minute. Look at the box score. Here comes Toro. Yeah. There goes a home run.
I mean, he's got to feel some type of way. Anybody that's just been traded has to feel some type of way. I mean, Graveman was getting really emotional because he's leaving a team, and he's going to a better team. Like, yeah. I mean, you have a better chance of winning a World Series here than in Seattle. As good as they've been playing,
you're right.
You have a better chance. But he was emotional, so that's just kind of the nature of the beast. Your boy Deshaun Watson shows up. How about it?
We've got so much to talk about. The fact that, again, we talk about the incompetence over on Kirby, but the fact that he is walking on the practice field, the fact that he is in that building, he did what he had to do to avoid fines because he needs the money right now, no matter what he says publicly, because of all the things. He has to pay Rusty. He's going to have to pay off a majority of these cases. He lost $8 million in endorsements. So we knew, and this is something we had set the table for you guys months ago in the fact that could happen. Now it is happening. But the fact that they let it happen, and it's almost like they want the circus. Like, Casario talked this morning. Did he, though? Because he didn't say anything. And I know that a lot of these idiots in the media are just expecting they owe him, that he owes them something, or that he's going to just open up and just get emotional and tell you what's going on. He's a Bill Belichick disciple. He wasn't going to say anything anyway. But you know what? Everyone's talking about the Texans, and they like it. I think it's stupid because eventually they're going to start figuring out that what they're really talking about with the Texans is a horse bleep team that doesn't know what the hell they're doing with Deshaun Watson. Not that they could do much, but let him stay home. Or if he's going to be in the building so he still gets his check, keep him in the meeting rooms. But the fact that he's wearing a hoodie and kind of trying to sneak across the field to get into practice, then he's wearing 23 and working out with the scout team. What are you really doing?
Well, call me a homer or call me Mr. Positivity, but let me tell you something. Regardless of how the front office looks around the league and in other markets in the country, Nick Caserio is handling this problem or this issue exactly the right way when it comes down to addressing the media and answering questions. So I have no problem with the way. And I expected it. Honestly, I did not expect anything less when it comes down. Even the way he addressed the media before he took questions, he had a swagger about him, a confidence about him. He wasn't worried about the Deshaun Watson questions. He really weren't. And let me tell you, he dodged like 8 of them back to back to back to back. So, like, I knew it wasn't going to be an issue with Nick Caserio. If people have a problem with the way Nick Caserio is handling the Deshaun Watson situation, I ask you to try. Because this is not an easy thing to get past. It's just not. Because the legal system has to run its course, and no one really, really, really knows exactly what the fate is of Deshaun Watson. So it's not an easy position
to be
in.
You say handle it. And look, and again, I'm a Nick Caserio fan so far, and I'm in full support of everything that he's doing. I just think in the regard of avoiding the circus, you could just tell everybody, hey, look, he's in the building. We're not going to make this about the media.
He's done that. That's basically what he said.
But I'm saying, but so I'm not going to have him on the field. I'm not going to have him in a different number. I'm not going to have him screwing around, running around. Now, John McClain crossed the line, too.
I was going to say Brian T. Smith.
All right, you'll get yours. I'll get mine. Mine on how I feel like McClain crossed the line. Your job as the beat writer for the Houston Texans is to report the news, okay? He got cute on Twitter and said the last time we saw something like this, Deshaun went out and threw a little pass where no one was around and suddenly he tore an ACL. Are you hoping he does that? Are you insinuating that he should? Are you trying to say that he's going to fake an injury? But you know what you shouldn't do, John? Any of the above. You should just cover the news. He's at practice. He's working out with the scout team. He's wearing 23. But don't get cutesy and don't get funny because it's a bad look.
Yeah. I won't say Brian T. Smith crossed the line. I won't go that far. But he had a very interrogative tone to his first question. And I felt like he kind of took Nick's question out of context. I don't know if I should say out of context, but he was just like, well, you say that's not your job about Deshaun Watson, but you just spent, you know, all this time addressing it before we even answer. Like, don't come off that way right off the top.
That's who Brian T. Smith is.
Yeah, but it doesn't, like, you can still be interrogative without that tone. Like, but man, look, he's been doing that job for a while. I just think that he could have reached out to Nick Caserio in a different way. He doesn't really care
about it. You're right. Someone's got to be the next Barry Warner, though, too.
If that's the, look, I'm going to play a couple clips of Nick Caserio on the other side.
Yep.
So I can get your thoughts on it, but it's pretty funny. Like, I'm just saying, Bill O'Brien and David Culley should take notes. That's all I'm gonna say on that.
But is Nick Caserio a junkie? That's the next question. All right, so Nick's gonna have those sound bites. We're gonna talk about those. We're gonna talk about the Astros. We're gonna talk about without the deadline still out there, a couple days away. We got a chance to see if there's any more moves up James Click's sleeve, as much as we love the one that he's already made, and the fact that, like I said, he didn't have to give up any prospects to do so. I heard the asking price on Kimbrel is higher than I even had thought. In talking to some people, that might be a detriment. Also, as Nick mentioned, maybe Scherzer wants to play on the West Coast, even though he's playing on the East Coast. If that's a problem, that's on him, because unless it's the Dodgers, the best team he should be playing for is your Houston Astros. Lots to talk about today. 12's in camp up in Lambeau. Seems to be a happy camper. We'll see how that goes as well. But it's all about you. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can Twitch. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, together with the Press Box, ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the Press Box, Nick and myself, as we're getting into some more of the Texans, as Nick has got a couple of sound bites queued up for us, we can dissect them as we talk about day one of Texans training camp. Got underway early this morning. Nick Caserio addressing the media before everything got underway, although he talked, but did he really say anything?
No.
I mean, that's basically kind of up for interpretation, right?
But it doesn't mean he wasn't going to get, you know, hit with a bunch of Deshaun Watson questions, considering this is the first day we've seen him in person, at least at NRG. He reports to training camp. But this is how he addressed the media leading up to the questions prior to getting all the questions from the media.
You know, I'd say on Deshaun's situation, I know there'll probably be a lot of questions about that. I would say my comments about that are he reported for training camp the other day. I know the league put out a statement and made some comments about where they are in that process. And again, I think from our perspective, it's a day-to-day endeavor. You know, we're going to take the information, we're going to process that. We're respectful of everybody and everything that's involved. So we'll kind of take it one day at a time. And, you know, ultimately we're going to do what we feel is best, you know, for the Houston Texans. I'm sure there'll be some questions. I know there's been a lot of speculation about what the Texans will do, about a lot of different scenarios. I mean, quite frankly, I mean, a lot of it's speculation. I'm not going to comment about a bunch of rumors about what we've done, what we're going to do, what the plan is. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. That's not my responsibility. The reason I was brought here by the McNair family is to do what I feel is best for the Houston Texans organization on a day-to-day basis, and that's my responsibility to ownership, that's my responsibility to the players, and that's my responsibility to the coaching staff. So that's how we're going to handle it.
I can tell you this, if you timed him, he couldn't have gotten more words in per minute than he did as the general manager. That
seconds.
Was very efficient.
57 seconds.
That was efficiency at its finest.
And he said, that's not my job. My job is to do that. And that's when Brian T. Smith hit him with the, well, you just said, you know. And that's why I kind of questioned it a little bit. But for the most part, you were not going to get, and I tweeted this out during Charlie's show.
Okay.
He's not going to say anything dumb.
He's
not going to let these media members control what he says. It's just not going to happen.
He's a Belichick guy. What's the one thing we know about Belichick? He's never going to tell you anything. Casario's the exact same way. I know Brian T. Smith loves him some Brian T. Smith, but the bottom line is, no matter how you phrase it, no matter how many times you go at him with it, you're getting the same response.
Yeah. I mean, does this sound like a guy that's going to answer any questions?
Again, I'm not going to get into an individual discussion about who's going to be doing what. Again, everybody will go out there, you know, whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. And I'm not going to comment about somebody, you know, what they're going to do on a day-to-day basis. Again, we're going to do what we feel is best for the organization on a day-to-day basis. So, again, it's a collective effort. I mean, between myself and David Culley, we're going to talk about everything each day. And then we're going to do what we feel is best. Again, we're going to do what we feel is best for the organization on a day-to-day basis. So, again, it's a collective effort. I mean, between myself and David Culley, we're going to talk about everything each day. And then we're going to do what we feel is best. Again, I'm not going to get into speculation about what's right, what's not. Again, the most important thing for us is do what we feel is best. And the most important thing is for the players to go out there and get themselves ready to play. So whatever that entails, whatever that looks like, that's what we're going to do. Again, it's my responsibility is to the players first and foremost in the organization, and that's, you know, that's where it's going to be. Yeah, I mean, I'd say we've had conversations. I'm not going to get into the nature of those conversations. Again, he's here. You know, he's been in meetings. He went through the conditioning test, you know, just like however many other players that we had that were here. So, again, we're going to take it one day at a time, Ed. You know, we're going to do what we feel is best on a day-to-day basis. Again, I'm not going to comment about who's going to be out here, who's going to be doing what, John. You know, we're going to go out here, we're going to prepare for practice, and then, you know, we'll just take it one day at a time, one period at a time.
Take notes, people. Other head coaches.
Nick, let me get this straight. It's a collective effort, and you and David are going to talk about it on a daily basis, and nobody's going to say anything. Is that right?
That's right.
I'm hungry. Did the media bring food today?
Not the chicken tenders, John. Unfortunately,
what?
We couldn't bring those.
What? Where's the barbecue sauce?
Well, when we don't have chicken tenders, we don't bring the barbecue sauce. That's not how it works, John.
I put barbecue sauce on my toenails. I did it on everything. What do you mean no barbecue sauce?
We brought breakfast. What do you need barbecue sauce for eggs?
Breakfast only holds me over for 45 minutes, Nick. I need a collective effort between you and David Culley to make sure I get my food.
You love making fun of John McClain. But look, how about that guy not? I mean, he did not crack. I mean, that guy's just not going to do that. And I think that's exactly what this team needs, or at least the front office. Because he can handle things a little bit better. You know?
So, here's the thing about John McClain, too, which annoys me, is the fact that...
Back to John McClain.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, you fired me up on something that Salisbury and I were on years ago. Like, years ago, he came out and said, he questioned whether Aaron Rodgers was a Hall of Famer, and he was like, I'm not sure. He goes, eventually, kind of like Eli Manning, eventually he'll get in. And I haven't let him forget that, but he won't own that. He said it. We have it on audio, but he wouldn't. He's right, well, damn it, he is right, okay? But he also feels like he should – it's almost like he walks into the media room with a crown on. Like, this is John McClain in his 29th year of NFL, whatever it is, bow down to the king. And then he feels like – you know, because Bill O'Brien used to address him with, well, John. And so he got off on all that.
Well, yeah, and Bill O'Brien, that was his way of letting John McClain know indirectly, like through his tone, that he wasn't having it that day. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then John wouldn't care. I mean, John, he would still, you know, aggravate him somehow, some way. But again, Nick Casario knows how to answer questions. When he was asked about Cobb, he's like, he was honest. He was like, you know what? I don't expect him on the field. Why? Because he's probably going to go over to Green Bay. And then when I forgot which reporter specifically asked him about Deshaun Watson's conditioning. And he literally answered the question by talking about the entire team's conditioning as opposed to just Deshaun Watson specifically. He knew that guy was trying to get a quote with Deshaun Watson, didn't even say his name. I mean, the guy's on point in that regard. I'll give him that. I'll give him that.
No, you're right. But you know what? And so I was kind of floating around on the internet this morning, seeing with all these press conferences how they were going to be handled. And, you know, actually Not Santa is exactly on the same page as I was at. The media getting butt hurt because they didn't get what they wanted.
Did they? I didn't even know.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of media.
I hope they were.
There was a lot of media people that were like, well, why aren't you, you know, essentially it's kind of like Brian T. Smith, only the fact that they just kept going, the fact that they felt like they deserved something. Or, you know, why have a press conference? Well, you have to, right? It's the start of training camp. And you're talking about other players that might be there. The question I have for you on all of this, Mr. Sharara, is it worth it to have him in camp? Is it worth it for him to be a distraction? Because there's a couple of things here. He could screw around on the scout team, and conceivably, he could get hurt.
I thought about that. And if you're going to pay him the $50,000 because he's showing up, just, you're right. I considered what you were saying. Take the hit on the chin, pay the $50,000 a day, make the statement public, which is probably something they don't know. I think Nick Cassero might be capable of doing something like this and say, you know what? Yeah, he did show up and we didn't want him here. You know what? Because we don't know his future and we don't want to risk him getting hurt. And him being at training camp may not be a big deal. And we're going to pay him the $50,000 a day.
Think about this. You're Nick Sharara covering the Texans. You're the beat writer, right? Whether you do two a days or one a day. I say that the question that I threw out to you about, do you really want the distraction? Because how many questions, out of say he gets 15 questions a day, Cully does, whoever's on the podium. Of the 15, how many are going to be 2021 Houston Texans related questions? And how many are going to be Deshaun specific? Because in my estimation, more than half of every question thrown at Cully, thrown at Cassario, thrown at whoever takes the podium is going to be with the word Deshaun in them.
Exactly. I should actually give you an exact time mark. The entire press conference was 15 minutes.
Okay.
He was asked, he initiated by addressing the Deshaun Watson situation at 4 minutes and 48 seconds. He went on for 60 seconds. From the 5 minute 44 mark all the way to basically the end of the 15 minute video, it was basically Deshaun Watson questions. Almost every single one from that point to the remainder of the press conference. So you had what? I mean, how many times did we hear a transition in that little clip? Probably what, eight times, nine times? So,
and at a certain point, too, I mean, how much is too much before you know you just take your medicine? You know that every question you're throwing out, you're getting the same answer that we kept repeating. So why keep throwing them out? Ask about Davis Mills. Ask about Tyrod Taylor.
They're not going to get clicks.
Ask about without J.J.
Houston
Watt.
Chronicle is not going to get any clicks about Davis Mills because nobody cares about him.
But you got enough from the first, whatever, 10 questions that he didn't answer about where he was going to go to where those, you can get the clicks by saying Cassario addresses Watson's situation.
Sure.
That'll get you the clicks. But at a certain point, especially because in the locker room, the guys are going to be like, when are we going to just talk about what we're going to do this year? When are we going to talk about the fact that we've turned the page and we're going to, you know, we may be an underdog, but we're going to try and do this. And these new coaches are going to do that. And Lovie Smith's going to do this. Those are the kind of things that's why I'm saying, I don't think he should be there right now because the league's not stepping in. And evidently the Texans aren't going to do anything one way or the other. Then you're going to pay him anyway, like you said. And the fine is just $50,000 a day.
Yeah.
But other than that, you're just going to pay his salary starting week one. So whether he's there or not, you evidently as an organization have decided we're going to roll the dice for a while, roll with the punches. We're going to pay him. So he doesn't get hurt. So he's not a distraction. You say he did what he had to do. He showed up. We told him, you know what? It's in the best interest right now of everybody. Just go home.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea, honestly. I thought about it, but I didn't think. The problem is any time they make an announcement and it's going to be in regards to Deshaun Watson, they're going to be criticized for whatever move that, like, even if they make, like, we're talking right now, like, we think that's a smart move. If they make that move, there's going to be a media outlet that's going to absolutely kill him for it. And they just don't like that type of stuff.
See,
I don't think
they kill him for it. I think they got to understand at the end of the day, if they just analyze
the Chronicle
it
and all
about
these
it,
other places will find a way.
Yeah, maybe some of the non, like, mainstream.
The nitpickers, maybe.
Yeah, maybe the non-mainstream, maybe the Barstools of the world or something like that might have issue with it. But for the most part, they'll get the backing of pretty much every GM in the league. And Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN, the ex-GM, would probably say the same thing. Look, in the best interest of, if I plan on trading this guy, the last thing I want to do is have him around where he could possibly get hurt to where it could affect me even more in the fact that I'm already hindered in trying to trade him. Or I could also say, and this is another thing I was thinking about, do I want him in the quarterback room? Do I want him going over our playbook? Do I want him knowing what we're going to do this year? Because inevitably, if he goes somewhere else, or even if at a certain point the league or someone tells him to go home, he's got friends across the league. He's going to be like, bro, you know what the Texans are trying to do this year? Bro, you know what the Texans are running this year? You know what their playbook looks like? You set yourself up. You open yourself up to too much just by having him on the field.
Yeah, you do. You do. And I don't even know if Deshaun Watson is pressing himself at 100% because he doesn't want to get hurt either.
No, yeah, he's not.
He's going to get paid, but he doesn't want to be on the sideline in the event he gets reinstated. And reinstated is the right word, but, you know, he gets a chance to play again. And Tyler on Twitter, you're right. He doesn't get paid $50,000 to show up. He just gets fined in the event he doesn't show up. So you're right about that. I don't know if I misspoke there, but yes, he does not get paid to show up. He just gets fined in the event that he doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
So my bad on that.
No, it's fine. I mean, look, I mean, the 50,000, everybody is subject to fine, but that's the backward thing about NFL. You don't get paid until week one. So you're putting in all this training camp effort. You're putting your body through all of this grind.
He's wearing the red shirt, though. No one can touch him. Don't you dare touch him. You can't tackle his ass. You can't aggressively hit him. Like, you can't do any of that to Deshaun. So that's a good thing. But, I mean, he did get, I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but one of his ACL tears was a non-contact injury.
Don't steal John McClain's thunder now. Don't steal John McClain's thunder. That was his tweet, not yours.
The first time he got injured, you and Barry yelled at me because we announced it on the show, remember?
Because you jinxed it. It was like, would you trade an Astros World Series championship for a Deshaun Watson ACL? And the damn thing happened the next day. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Half hour into the program, 2.5 to go. Lots more to cover, both NFL and otherwise. Astros going for the series today. 2:40, I believe, Central Time. Jake Odorizzi better not stink as he goes to try and do the Astros the solid. With the A's losing, the Astros keep winning. That's a good thing. So hopefully James Click is looking at other opportunities to make more moves to do other things. But in the meantime, we've got lots of stuff for you. Stay right where you're at. It's Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
You heard the man. That's the plan. Nick and myself. So I do have some concerns, Nick. That's why, as much as I'm giving James Click credit for what he's done so far, I entirely stand by everything that I tweeted yesterday. I hope he's not done. I mean, I said, regardless of anything else, they needed two arms.
Well, hopefully he's not lying, because he said he's not done.
And he also said it's not just necessarily about the bullpen. Now, that could be a starter. That could be a bat. One of the bats that was rumored to be connected to the Astros is no longer going to be available, as Starling Marte is going from the Miami Marlins to the Oakland A's. And since that's your main competition, and they are fading, but it seems like desperate times calls for desperate measures, a team that almost never dabbles in trying to take on a big salary with a contract that has to be done for the future, partakes in trades in which they are just trying to make a desperation move before the deadline to try and help this specific season, but they're doing just that because they're getting a big-time center fielder. Not that their center fielder was too bad, because he's a guy that Astros fans know very, very well.
Sure.
But didn't
you say he wanted like $30 million a year or something like that?
Yeah, next year. Right. So that's what I'm saying. That's just not a very Oakland type move. But it's the move that they're making right now, because I think they see what's in front of them. They know chasing the Astros, that the Astros seem to be pulling away right now, and that's a concern.
Look, the A's have been really big on analytics. I mean, we talked about that movie Moneyball and everything like that, but analytics can only help you so much. You're going to need some top-heavy talent at some point.
Right, but you got Laureano in center field. He's got a cannon. He hits for power. He's young. He's fast. I don't know why you suddenly feel like center field, unless you just feel like, hey, you know what, we just needed the best bat available, the best player in the field available, and we'll adjust the outfield accordingly. Maybe that's something where Laureano goes to a corner outfield position.
I don't know. But it's interesting that the A's are kind of really in go for it mode. This is the second move they've made this week for guys that you normally wouldn't see them chasing, like Chafin, the reliever from the Cubs, they also added earlier. So that's why I hope Click's not done.
Because, yeah, and maybe not like not necessarily like top heavy, but like just one or two really badass bats or one or two really good aces. I mean, every team needs that, despite regardless of how deep you delve into analytics, is my point. Like, you still need some raw talent, you know what I mean? As opposed to just depending on analytics. And I think, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying A's just depend on analytics and being cheap all these years, but that's kind of what they did. But I feel like they're evolving their approach a little bit, because I think they kind of they realize that they need some serious talent. I mean, they can't just win, you know. And so, are you okay with them going for another bat as opposed to another addition to the bullpen?
Well, considering it depends on the price. So if Baez is good, right? If Baez, again, scoreless inning two nights ago for the Skeeters, he had 15 pitches, but he's had several scoreless outings. So if Baez is the guy that you're counting on, those are two arms all in itself.
Yeah.
Now, so that's an upgrade. The fact that you have now the Mariners closer to go with your own closer, the eighth and ninth seem to be locked up, okay? Now, if you got some guy that, whether Stanek, you're going to stick with Stanek or not, he's a guy that at least has been more hit than miss when he comes into a game. But you got Stanek, you got Javier, and if Baez becomes that guy, now the bullpen has enough reliability for me that you don't have to continue to address it with another move. With that being said, I talked to some people this morning that have knowledge of the Cubs that are saying that the asking price with the Astros was far more than it started out to be in terms of Craig Kimbrell. They want Leon. They want all the best prospects in the Astros farm system. And for a guy that's got 1 year left on a very expensive deal that's not quite the pitcher he was in his prime, I'm not doing that.
Guess
and
if what?
And I don't need another closer. I've got two.
Right. I want Click to be cheap in that regard.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? I'm glad he didn't pull down. I wouldn't give up all that either. Why would you give all that up? It doesn't make sense, because there were other deals and options. I'm pretty sure when he heard that, he was like, you know what? I have some options. I really wanted Kimbrel, but if you're going to ask for an absolute haul like that, I'm probably just going to move on. And that's what he did, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Now, if you want to look for another bat, I'm all for it. But again, like I told you,
but Bregman's going to come back.
Well, and like I told you what was coming, Nick, the only problem is he's not a center fielder. But Aledmys Diaz is a stick. His biggest problem has been staying healthy. He can play outfield, he can play infield. But you know what? One thing I know is a constant for sure. When he's in the lineup, he puts bat on baseball. He had three hits last night, two or three hits. He's a stick, right?
He's so great for depth.
So he's going to play third and hit better than Toro. He's got a better arm than Toro. And they field about the same. So when Bregman comes back, now you've got a guy that can be very versatile for you, a la Marwin. But no matter where he sits in the lineup, he's going to hit. So you've got two bats, essentially, coming back to the lineup. The only real issue with the lineup that you look at is if you believe in the consistency or inconsistencies of Miles Straw. Do you want another center fielder? If so, who's out there? Because, you know, Buxton's out there from the Twins, but he's looking for big dollars. So it's going to be another rental. And if the Twins, don't want to just give away the farm, and he's already turned down what the Twins have offered, but it depends on their asking price. If it's not too high and they just want one or two young players, I would actually have that discussion, because that's a guy that could actually just put you over the top. Because then the only weak spot in your entire lineup is the bat of Maldonado, but his defense is far too valuable. You're not touching him.
Right. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. And your thoughts on Graveman and him being added to the team? What do you think of him as an overall player? He obviously makes you a little bit better in terms of the bullpen, but how much of an impact do you think he will have immediately? Like, just immediate impact, you think?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that, you know, I'm interested to see his numbers, right? I'm interested to see as he's, you know, as he, when he gets back, because the one thing that scares me, Nick, is injury, right? We're talking about all this, but we're not considering the fact that guys could still get dinged up.
Yeah.
And or something could happen.
And that's the reason why I'm not upset or angry like some Astros fans that they gave up on Toro, but that's the reason why you can kind of be in fear about losing someone like Toro, because of the depth factor. So I can understand that to a certain extent, but he has really good numbers. He's 30 years of age. And obviously the Astros had an opportunity to take a really good look at him because they're in the middle of the series with the Mariners. But yes, this is what Click and Dusty had to say about the situation.
What impact he can have with his ability to get big outs and to sort of lengthen our bullpen a little bit, I think is one critical step in the right direction as we try to round out the rest of this roster.
It gives us a couple guys that have both closed and pitched in high leverage situations at the end of the game, and gives us some more quality firepower and gas at the end of the in the bullpen to go along with what we have now.
So essentially, Dusty's saying what we said. You don't need Kimbrel because you now have two closers on the roster.
So I don't think they're probably going to go for a bat.
I don't think you need Kimbrel. Scherzer would have been a guy. There's still guys out there.
At least he doesn't want to go to New York. I'm happy about that.
When you look at Miami, when you look at Minnesota, there are guys that could still be front-end starters that you could take a look at, but I think the asking price might be as high as what the Cubs were looking for. So you got to be careful who you go after. Urquidy's health concerns me a little bit, but for anybody that's questioning my suggestion about getting another bat, the bottom line is, from Buster Olney across baseball, they said from the time that we got close in the last 2 weeks on the deadline that the Astros have explored center fielders as well as pitchers. So they're identifying the fact that they're not set on Miles Straw. So therefore, when you look at what does this team still need, and I'm the one that said the only hole that I can conceivably see on this whole squad was the bullpen. But if you want to get greedy, the two areas that you could look to even take it to another level with, you get an ace, or you get a center fielder. You get another bat.
Yeah.
So
it looks like now, too, Pedro Leon, to shortstop, fractured his pinky finger and will be out for 6 weeks.
And that's one of the guys the Cubs desperately wanted if you wanted Kimbrel.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate situation. The fact that he'll be out for 6 weeks because of a fractured pinky that he suffered on Monday, and that's why he left the game early in Sugarland, or maybe on an LKC, but for Sugarland. Yeah, so that's another update for the Houston Astros. That's unfortunate, but I mean, I think there's more of a positive with the trade that James Klick just made. So, Frank, I know you were hanging on for a long time. I tried to get to you in this segment. I know you wanted to discuss the Astros trade. So, at some point, we're definitely going to circle back to Frank. The Astros.
Yeah, we will.
Someone
said, would you trade your boy Chaz McCormick in a prospect to get Buxton from the Twins? To me, it's the same thing as if you're going after a Max Scherzer. The bottom line is, with guys, even with Grossman, but look, I'll wait it out a little bit. But the fact of the matter is, you don't have to give up as much as we've talked about when you've got guys with expiring contracts. But to me, the only real value is if you have the discussion, whether it be during the process of the trade or immediately after, about the chances of being able to resign them. If you get Max Scherzer and you know Grinke and Verlander are going away, and you go get Scherzer to be the frontline ace of your starting rotation for the next 3 years, I'm great.
But if you're only
renting him for the rest of this year, I'm not great with giving up a lot. That's just me.
No, and this, I can understand your fear for not wanting to give up a lot if he's expiring. That makes sense. That makes sense for everybody, especially if you want him back. But I don't think he wants to play in Houston, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to...
No, Patrick Creighton was tweeting the same thing.
I'm not trying to burst people's bubbles, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I didn't read what Creighton tweeted out there. He just indicated that, and I hope that's not the case. But you know,
I was supposed to meet him at training camp today. He's actually at training camp for... I don't know if he ran into Deshaun Watson or said hello. What do you think Pete Creighton would say? Ask Deshaun Watson if he saw Deshaun Watson.
I could see Creighton going... So, Deshaun, with all this that's being said, do you think that there's a chance you'd get a massage today?
He wouldn't do that.
What size towel? Okay. All right, we're going to have much more to get to as we continue to roll with the program. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, Dr. O is phenomenal. He worked at some of those other clinics as he was getting his feet wet and realized what worked, what didn't, and just decided, you know what? I don't want to screw anybody over. I want to treat everybody the same way to get results. So I'm not going to tell them what may work. I want to get them things that do work. So he opened up his two clinics. They're both conveniently located near downtown Houston. And the fact is, for men and women, he realized your health is your wealth. And if you're willing to invest in yourself, he's going to get you results. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, he's got answers for your questions. He's got a program for what you want to do. All you got to do is set up that first appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com. You're going to find out most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Then let the process begin.
Answer the questions honestly. They might be tough, but they're in your best interest. When you do that, they're going to find you results. Men and women, there's hormone therapy. You can do it weekly by going into the clinic. You can do it yourself at home, and they can show you how. Or you can do cutting-edge pellet testosterone therapy if you're a man, which means you only got to go in every 6 months, but you reap all the benefits. The fact is, they know they're experts, and they get results. Check them out today. You mentioned my name, Joel Blank, and ESPN Radio. You're going to get a free B12 shot on your first visit, and then they're going to take you from there. If you want to get on a workout program, you get a full body composition analysis. If you want to recover quicker, there's HGH peptide therapy. There's all kinds of answers for all your questions, and it starts with that first consultation. Check them out today. It's the good people at Apollo Mental.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Well, I'd love to tell you that Nick is just sharing some Texas history with you by cranking up one of the best bands from the great state. But there's a reason why he's playing ZZ Top right now, and it kind of sucks.
Yeah, Dusty Hill passes away at the age of 72 in his home in Houston, Texas. They're not quite sure why. They don't know if it's related to some sort of hip issue that he had, where he had to be sidelined from a string of shows. I don't know how that would impact his death, but you never know. But yeah, Dusty Hill at the age of 72 has passed away. ZZ Top's Dusty Hill. And if you haven't had a chance to check out that documentary,
watch the documentary, man. Was it on Netflix?
It was on Netflix. Yeah. I think it was released in the middle of the pandemic, if I'm not mistaken.
You guys tipped me off to it, and I watched it all in right away in one night. And it's just absolutely fantastic in terms of their whole backstory and how they got together and why they dressed the way they did what they did. And it's really, really good stuff. So RIP Dusty.
And it's good to see bands like that last that long and still rock and roll at their age. You know? And there's quite a few bands like that, but it's kind of hard to do that. It's more and more difficult for a band to kind of stick together for years in and years out like that, you know? So, RIP.
No question. That's sad, man. I mean, look, you talk about the MTV generation.
Oh, yeah.
But that red Eliminator car that, and those
in that
chicks.
Video. Oh,
and
yeah.
Those chicks that were in every one of the ZZ Top videos. I told you that the crazy thing was Lisa watches that the Real Housewives of like Orange County or whatever. And the hot brunette chick that was in all the ZZ Top videos ended up marrying like an ex Oakland A's pitcher.
Okay.
And their son was in the minor leagues. But she, let's just say, didn't like take care of herself the way she did when those videos were popular.
Well, when you're out rock and roll, you know, out living the life. I guess she was a groupie with ZZ Top. I don't think you're taking care of your body that much. Like, you're just,
well,
you're just...
then she had a hell of a metabolism because she was in Playboy. She was from Milwaukee, by the way.
Gina
Tomasini.
Oh, okay.
Gina Tomasini at the time,
and now Jenna Cow.
Keough. Matt Keough.
No, I like Cow.
Matt Keough, the former pitcher for the A's. Yeah, it's either ex-wife or wife.
And I mean, she's 65 years old, born in Milwaukee. Yeah, you're right. I mean, she was hot in the videos, that's for sure.
For sure. The hottest one of all of them, I believe.
Yeah.
It's to each his own. A lot of people will just, the blonde hair will be the indicator for them. But, yeah, I mean, look, and the Top had great music. I mean, all their music.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably play a whole bunch throughout the show.
The more modern was when they tried to like up their game to stay current was like Sleeping Bag and some of their upbeat stuff. But you can go all the way from Pearl Necklace to, you know, all the ones that everybody knows, Sharp Dressed Man and Legs and all that other stuff. But man, the ZZ Top is just a piece of Americana that it's a shame that
probably didn't get the recognition that they should have from a national standpoint. But they were big down here in Texas for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I'm with Nick. Let's theme the rest of the tunes on a ZZ Top front in honor of Dusty as we ride the Eliminator.
Yeah, yeah.
For one more trip in the red coupe.
So why is Aaron Rodgers being a little biznotch?
See, now, I haven't heard any of this sound.
Okay? He took a shot. I'm going to say your city, even though it's not your city.
My city.
He took a shot at your city.
Green Bay is not my... I've warned you about Green Bay.
Green Bay,
Milwaukee. Milwaukee is 2 hours away. We are a metropolitan city. It's the only... Madison is close. Other than that, that's all Wisconsin's got. It's a lot of dairy farms and stuff like that. Green Bay, as I told you, and I'm saying that the Green Bay is... I've told you before about NBA players and otherwise when they go up there, if they walk the mall in Green Bay, every African-American they think is a Packer.
Oh, my God.
It's a very, very behind-the-time city.
Well, here's what he said. What does he have to say? Not about your city.
Not about the city
Milwaukee,
of Green Bay.
But Green Bay.
You know, I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency at the first has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer my services as a recruiter, you know. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front.
What did he say that was wrong? Why do you say that he's...
He said it's not a vacation destination, I'm sure.
Well, he's right. He's absolutely right.
He's 110% right. There's no doubt.
If you're not going to Green Bay for a game, you don't go to Green Bay. And there's just nothing going on.
Oh, I mean, I think everybody who hasn't even been to Green Bay probably knows this. But you're playing for Green Bay, though. You don't take a shot at Green Bay when you're playing for Green Bay.
Right, I see your point. But at the same time, you know what he's doing is he's looking at Russell Wilson. Remember, from Josh Gordon to Antonio Brown, whenever there was a guy that was out there, Russell Wilson was working out with him. Russell Wilson was putting this on in the front of those receivers' minds. Russell Wilson was saying, I'm working out with you now, but you know what? We'd love to have you. And he was recruiting. And you know what? It's not us. We've talked about this over and over when it relates to the Deshaun Watson situation. You utilize every resource you can as a general manager and as a franchise. It doesn't mean that you're going to go with whatever decision they want you to make. We said this when Deshaun wanted to have at least input on the GM and the coach. And I said over and over, and I got pushback from Barry. I got pushback from Charlie. My big thing is you don't have to do what they want you to do or hire who they want you to hire. But it's so much easier to say, we heard you. We talked to your guy. At the end of the day, we felt like doing this because you're appeasing one of your, if not the best player on the team, as opposed to stonewalling them, which frustrates them and pisses them off because you're not listening to them.
I hate that part of the game.
It is the game within the
game. I hate having to appease people, but you got to do it. You have to do it, unfortunately. I don't think you should appease them when they're done with you, though. That part I will never understand. Like James Harden's case. Or in the event that Dame Lillard is really wanting to request a trade and get out of Portland. At that point, I'm done appeasing you. Believe me, you've been paid like a max player. You've been appeased for the past 3 or 4 years in Portland. James Harden, you were appeased in the, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years you were there at Houston, dude. But when you're done with me, I'm not appeasing you no more. That's my problem.
But see, this is why I think that they're neither side is done with each other. This is just his way now of getting his way because they weren't doing what he wanted them to do. And this is the scary thing. This is Marcus Spears coming out in the last 2 days and saying he's talking to NFL executives and he's looking at what happened in Green Bay and he's saying, welcome to the NBA. This is an NFL guy. Because as I told you, once Harden changed the narrative that no matter how long your contract is and how big it is, you can still be traded. Damon Lillard jumped on board. Other players started jumping out. Look, Xavier, the cornerback for the Dolphins, did it last night. If I'm not appreciated and you don't like me and you don't want me, then trade me. Yeah. Because you don't want me here. And he's got a massive contract.
but it's not big enough for him. He doesn't think that he's getting the value that he deserves. In the past, you'd say, you know what? You got a deal. You've got money. You show up or you don't get paid because the team has the bargaining chips. Now they don't. Across sports, the tide has turned, and all the chips are on the player's back pocket. And it's scary because it's not going to end with what we just saw with Rodgers. All right, one in the books, two to go. Second hour of the show comes up next. Join us, won't you? It's the Press Box, ESPN.
When it comes to sports betting, SportsMapBets.com is the site you need. From weekly betting guides to single game breakdowns of the point spread, money line, over under, and more, SportsMapBets has all the info you need to make the best play. SportsMapBets.com.